So this really looks like an active drug. Now, the trade-off is that it has more toxicity, you know, and whether that's because it's a more potent chemotherapy or because of this bystander effect, it's not clear, but it definitely has more toxicity. So there is about a third of the patients have hair loss. Nausea is definitely more prevalent with this than with T-DM1. This patient, perhaps partly because she's so young and there's a more predisposed to nausea, you know, had a substantial amount of nausea when she first started. We've been able to control it by increasing her antiemetic regimen with each dose. And now that she's been on it for a while, the nausea is really largely gone. So it's definitely manageable, but it's definitely something to pay attention to, and it's different than T-DM1. So we've seen alopecia, we've seen GI toxicity. And then the one other thing that's been noticeable with this drug is that there is more pneumonitis. About overall, roughly 10% of patients have been getting some degree of pneumonitis, and there have been some fatal cases. So hopefully now that we've gotten more familiar with this potential toxicity and we're able to manage it better, we will, you know, get rid of the more high-grade toxicities of pneumonitis, but it's definitely something that we need to pay attention to when using this drug.
What happened to this woman's hair?
So she actually has kept her hair. She started out with a lot. I can't remember whether she's had any thinning, but looking at her hair has been fine. Instead, it's only about a third of patients who've lost their hair or have had some degree of substantial degree of alopecia. So
what do you see in terms of counts, cytopenias?
So there have been some cytopenias. So in addition to the thrombocytopenia that seems to be somewhat of a class effect, the thrombocytopenia is no worse than T-DM1, but there has been some more neutropenia and anemia seen, although it hasn't really been dose limiting for this drug. It's the other things that we've been more paying attention to.
What about activity in the CNS?
So we don't really have much data on that, you know. So like most early trials of novel therapies, we've been excluding patients who have progressive brain metastases. So we don't really know. Again, this is a big molecule, so I wouldn't expect it to be much different than T-DM1, but we don't really have data to speak to that.